Welcome back to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham. My name's Dave, and if you're just joining us, our guest today is Dr. Brock McGregor, naturopathic doctor. And we've been talking about liver health. And before the break, we talked about the different enzymes and proteins that the liver produces and also its production and control of cholesterol. But Dr., there's some pretty common liver diseases, aren't there? Like, what would be...
There are. So certainly when you think of liver disease, often the first thing you think of is hepatitis, you know, hepatitis C being one, or cirrhosis associated with, you know, long-term infection with hepatitis or alcohol consumption. But one of the more common things we'll see is non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which can sort of be broken down into non-alcoholic fatty liver and non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. So the difference between those, it's NAFL and NASH, NASH, is really the second one refers to some inflammation also going on with respect to that that liver function.
So fatty liver can be the result, not doesn't have to have alcohol associated with it.
No, it doesn't. And often people are, you know, sort of caught off guard when they come back and they've had some elevated liver enzymes, they've had maybe an ultrasound, they've been told they have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and they think, well, you know, what did I do over the period of time to develop this? And for some degree, we don't know in all people how it starts, if there's some genetic predisposition or some other exposures that maybe we're not aware of. But we definitely see an association between non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and blood glucose dysregulation, so pre-diabetes and diabetes.
So blood sugar being an issue again.
Yeah, so again, you're looking at, you know, high exposure to elevated levels of blood sugar over periods of time. And when we kind of dig deep into why we're seeing things like that more prevalent, we can look back on common dietary advice over the past, you know, 20, 30 years when we used to say, well, we want to lower cholesterol, so let's eat, you know, fat-free diets, let's avoid a lot of animal proteins, and let's stick to a lot of grains. In doing that, we actually, you know, elevated people's carbohydrate intake, elevated their simple sugar intake, and now we're seeing the outcome in elevated levels of cardiovascular disease.
So it's those highly processed carbs.
So it's those high processed foods, things that hit you really quick as, and raise your blood pressure quickly.
So what is a fatty liver actually?
So it's
by description.
It's basically what it sounds like. It's you have
the clues in the name.
Yeah, over 10% of your liver is fat. So there's fat being deposited within your liver, and over time that can disrupt liver function.
So the cause again is more of a dietary approach. A wrong dietary.
Generally, that's what we think. I mean, there are cases where you will see that type of condition in someone who's had a pretty good diet for most of their life. So certainly there's probably some criteria, some variables that maybe we're not as aware of, some environmental exposure that may also be contributing in. Of course, genetic factors and that risk that you inherit from your biological ancestors.
Yeah. So the Canadian Liver Foundation says that 50% of Canadians are overweight, and that probably 75% of those would be at risk of fatty liver.
Yeah, so, and generally what we're seeing is that whole metabolic syndrome. So we're seeing insulin resistance, we're seeing abdominal obesity, we're seeing blood sugar dysregulation, and that puts people at risk of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
So can it be reversed?
So fortunately, the liver is a pretty interesting organ. It's one of the few organs that regenerates very well. So what we will see is through dietary intervention, moderate weight loss, lifestyle intervention, so looking at increased exercise, you can actually see function improve and improve that condition. There's also things we try and use from a supplemental point of view with some people. So we'll look at things like vitamin E, vitamin C, and a lot of different herbs or botanical medicines that have what's called a hepatoprotective effect. So that means that they protect hepatocytes or liver cells. And we think of plants like dandelion or nettle, globe artichoke, and we often use those together when we're seeing a condition like non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
So does fatty liver then lead to an inflammation of?
So
because I hear about that.
Inflammation
of the liver.
Yeah, if you get that then you're moving into non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. So that refers to that inflammatory response. When we're looking at that, you can, you know, actually experience some discomfort for that from that as well. And we know sort of the role that inflammation plays systemically, so throughout our bodies, in elevating risk of other diseases. So we're looking at a little bit different treatment when we see that inflammatory aspect of disease as well. So we start to think about things like omega-3 fatty acids that decrease levels of inflammation, looking at herbs like turmeric or curcumin that have a strong anti-inflammatory effect as well.
And then does that then lead to cirrhosis?
So
what is cirrhosis?
So cirrhosis is basically scarring of the liver. So you get damage to hepatocytes that becomes unable to be reversed, and that's when you start to see those symptoms that are classic of liver function decreases. So when you're seeing changes in skin, itching sometimes, certainly changes in digestion, and if it proceeds far enough, you can see cognitive changes as well, as your body isn't able to rid itself of all these toxins because your liver function is compromised.
Now, there seems to be some evidence that leaky gut syndrome can be associated with fatty liver.
Yeah, so of course we see this really tight relationship between digestive function and liver function. So when we're looking at non-alcoholic fatty liver disease or NASH, we're looking at these liver disorders, often we also see digestive function problems. And it's sort of a chicken or an egg issue at times as well.
Okay.
Poor liver function will generally lead to poor digestion, and likewise, poor digestion will lead to poor liver function. So we're generally, when we're treating these conditions, you know, trying to treat the whole person and treating both of those systems. And you will see when someone's able to eliminate more frequently, when they're, you know, adopted a better diet, we will see improvements in liver function.
Now, we've talked about in past shows here, we've talked about leaky gut syndrome, but can you just describe what that is exactly?
Yeah, so essentially the theory behind leaky gut syndrome is that we have inflammation going on in our digestive tract. That inflammation leads to a breakdown of junctions between cells in our intestinal cells. So these junctions are supposed to not let any food through. Your food's supposed to be processed through the cell as it's absorbed.
Only the vitamins and minerals and nutrients.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you're getting these leaky junctions, so to speak, it's sort of like a wall that's got a bunch of holes in it. Okay. You're getting things moving through that shouldn't be. When those food particles move through, those proteins, you'll see an inflammatory or an immune response to them. So your immune system actually recognizes them. That immune response is mounted, and you get an inflammatory response. So you've already have this inflammatory process that's leading to some damage. And then as you are exposed to more foods, you're increasing inflammation again. So you get this issue where it's sort of a self-propagating disorder. And then we need to look at, how do we eliminate foods that someone's reactive to? How do we allow them to heal those border enzymes? And how do we decrease inflammation?
Yeah, so it's a cascade effect.
Exactly, yeah. There's never, when you look at the body and you change one function, there's a lot that happens downstream and a lot of effects of that one change. So you're really, when you're treating some of these conditions, you have to be cognizant of what other types of effects it's going to have on your body.
So I guess the whole point of what we're talking about too, I mean, it's so much what we're saying sounds and is very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is we need to really look after the liver.
Yeah.
And take special care. It's something that we really don't think about. Okay, I'm going to eat today. How am I going to treat my liver?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's not a conscious thing we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do? What can we do to protect the liver, both long-term in a preventative way, or if we're having issues, we can do some corrective things?
Yeah, so the biggest component.
Now you did talk about some things earlier.
Yeah, the biggest component
revisit those.
Certainly is diet and lifestyle. So when we're looking at what we're taking in for food, so making sure that we're providing the liver with substrates or nutrients that it needs to perform its detoxification functions. So looking at high vegetable diets, making sure we have reduced amounts of sugar and simple carbohydrates, adequate fiber to make sure we're able to sort of soak up bile and get that out of our system as well. Adequate fat-soluble vitamins, adequate B vitamins. So all these things that we know have other beneficial effects on the body, they're also working through the liver. So when we take that sort of 30,000 foot view of, okay, what does all this biochemistry and physiological function mean? And what's it telling you? What it's really telling us is that, you know, if we lead a healthier life, we're going to have a healthier liver, which is not too unexpected.
Yep.
Of course, one of the things we think about with liver function as well is exposure to alcohol. So if someone has non-alcoholic fatty liver disease or any type of liver dysfunction, reducing or eliminating alcohol is recommended generally. Looking at other things that damage liver as well, so some pharmaceuticals like Tylenol and some stronger pharmaceuticals that we may use in more serious chronic illnesses can have some liver effects as well. So we have to make sure that we're cognizant of some liver repair after using those, and really providing a balanced lifestyle. So reducing exposure to environmental toxins, to workplace toxins, something that's you know, maybe more well known now than it was 20, 30, 50 years ago.
Sure, yeah. Now, so even just walking around the grocery store, things like broccoli and Brussels sprouts, kale, cabbage, cauliflower, artichoke, garlic, dandelion. I mean, it's
Good
stuff.
They've all, you know, we know they've got high fiber content, and we also, I'll try and not butcher this word too bad, but they contain glucosinolates, which are a compound that's important in liver detoxification function. So when we're trying to get those brassicas in, so that's your broccoli and things related to mustard, that's one of the things that's really helpful in liver function.
And amino acids are important.
Yeah, so
glutathione.
Glutathione, which is a really interesting molecule. So when we talk about antioxidants, often how they're working is they're really helping us to recycle glutathione. So glutathione is really the ultimate antioxidant. It's what's used for a lot of the detoxification processes. It's a very difficult thing to elevate. It's not very well absorbed when you try and take it orally, which is a challenge. But we do know that things like N-acetylcysteine and vitamin C orally can help raise endogenous glutathione levels. In very serious instances, we'll actually use it intravenously. So we'll give it through an IV, and that can sometimes be used to treat liver disorders. And it's also actually used in people who are actively trying to decrease their toxic load, so to speak.
So that's a more serious condition.
Yeah, so generally more serious conditions. It also has, glutathione's a bit of a vanity product sometimes too. You can use it for skin whitening, which is an interesting side use. So that doesn't occur when you're using it regularly, but there are some functions that allow you to do that with it.
Yeah. So doctor, we're sort of at the end of our time here for this show. Any final comments on the liver and good health?
When we think about the liver function, we're really talking about sort of the home base for a lot of our digestive function, our hormonal functions, our overall health. So it's important that we're being cognizant of how to take care of our liver, of those signs that there are some type of dysfunction, and making sure that we're leading healthy, active, balanced lives.
So thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks
good
for
talking
having me.
To you. So I've been talking with Dr. Brock McGregor. Now, doctor, if someone feels that they have a liver condition or any other malady that they might have a concern about, how can they get in touch with you?
Yep. So I'm located on Queen Street, 217 Queen Street, with Little Chiropractic. And you can find me online, www.mcgregornd, as a naturopathic doctor.com. There's also a Facebook page, phone numbers there, emails there. We still are accepting patients, and certainly if people have some questions about naturopathic medicine in general, we do free phone consults as well as introductory visits to sort of let them know what naturopathic doctors do and what they can expect out of treatment.
Very good. You've been listening to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, now celebrating 25 years since 1992. And to say thank you to you, our customers, we're giving away weekly gift baskets worth $25 to $100. So all you have to do is visit our website, thehealthyhabitchatham.com, click on 25-year giveaway, enter once for all the remaining draws, and a chance to take home a gift basket. And that's at The Healthy Habit, where we help you to help yourself with your health one step at a time.